God, who gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save mankind. Jesus, who freely chose to be a sacrifice for mankind's sins, dying a death so horrific, physical and spiritual, nailed to a cross. Almighty God, we plead for mercy on America. We repent, each of us, listening to the Divided Kingdom radio program. We admit our daily sins of omission and commission, and we are heartily sorry. We ask your forgiveness. We thank you for the many ways you have been helping us, each of your people, in these daily lives during this grave time. I, Luke Haverly, thank you for keeping my life safe over the last year and a half, as my body contained a terrible infection, largely unnoticed, just as some COVID-19 affectees have no outward symptoms. You, Jesus, sent me a wonderful set of doctors, culminating last week in the removal of a tooth. The Christian dentist said, "Look at this," to his assistant. It was the worst infection, along with broken fragments he had to remove separately, he had ever seen. It had been draining into my system for at least a year. Jesus, you also helped Elizabeth, at the same time, to save her last molar tooth. In February, we both faced the shock that we would not be able to pay our taxes in April, and the future of staying on our air with the Divided Kingdom was in serious doubt. In the darkest times, that is when you work for your believers. We get a miraculous loan, and we are encouraged every few days by you to stay as faithful watchmen atop the towers encircling an increasingly darkening world. O Lord, in this time of grave concern for people's very lives with COVID-19 escalating, and at the same time Satan's followers trying to thwart Congress from helping middle-class Americans to survive, we pray again for your help to give President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the governors of America your wisdom and patience. And we are thankful that the rescue package has passed the Senate. We pray it will pass the whole Congress now. We know it is vital not to wait too long before reopening the business world. But this cannot be a goal that takes precedence over continuing to faithfully protect the American people's lives by social distancing. To quickly choose, capriciously, to end the 15 days of so-called mitigation, letting the exponential curve, instead of flattening, surge more quickly upward, would be choosing mammon, breaking your holiest political and spiritual covenant to hold human life as sacred and protect it. Though President Trump hopes for an Easter open up of America, we all are so thankful medical expert Dr. Anthony Fauci has given us the good news that, having considered the grave New York situation, our great president remains, quote, flexible. The cremation vans in China had logos on their sides. Mike Adams' staff reports that they translated those words as animal corpses. We are better than that. We do not accept atheistic communism and the murder of over 400 million baby girls. So Almighty God, convict the consciences of our leaders that they, one, will not obstruct congressional passage of help to the American people, and two, will not open the economic sectors while grave danger is still present. Perhaps there is a wise way to continue containment and social distancing while opening only a few states untouched or almost untouched by the coronavirus. We ask you, O God, to foil the sinister global organizations and forces that have allowed the pandemic to unfold and worsen through the delayed testing and provision of N95 masks and ventilators. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Luke Haverly. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Haverly. And, of course, you are listening to The Divided Kingdom, the evening news program with a Christian focus that many of you have come to know and trust. We are watchmen called by God, we believe, to tell the truth, the full truth that you will not hear on the mainstream media. You will not hear from Dr. Francis Boyle. You will not see him on Fox. You will not see him on CNN. He was the expert in all of the kinds of biological warfare during the H.G. Bush years. And he drew up the conventional, the treaty for biological conventions. In other words, trying to keep the world safe from the type of thing that escapes from the BSL-4 labs, whether it is near Wuhan, whether it is in North Carolina, whether it is Fort Detrick. Dr. Francis Boyle had this treaty, and it was signed by the UN. So we think that that piece of evidence is incontrovertible. That's out there. You can find it. You'll know that that is true. So in his estimation, this COVID-19, the coronavirus, is a biological weapon. In other words, it was bioengineered in a laboratory. Several eminent Indian specialists, and they were very high up epidemiologists. They had their doctorate. They studied it, and they found that it had a gain of function, for example. In other words, it's made more powerful. And they found that it appeared to have been linked with not only fragments of HIV, but SARS, the other virus that was around in the world a few years ago. They were quickly suppressed. Their alternative news on an alternative news site that quickly disappeared. They were shut up. So when you hear on the television that this is a Chinese virus, this is a Chinese virus, yes, that's probably right. The information we had gained was the allegation that under President Obama, one of these BSL-4 labs, probably from North Carolina. We heard commentator David Knight, who lived in North Carolina for a number of years, and he's a very esteemed journalist, and he said that they were working on this coronavirus there at Chapel Hill with bats and all kinds of things, you know, the things that we hear. The cover-up story is this came from bats. We don't hear why it is so virulent. No, we don't hear that it may be bioengineered on the mainstream media. So, at any rate, the story appears to be that under the Obama years, this bioweapon was sold to China. President Trump a number of times has said that he refutes the terrible, vicious allegation that our soldiers took it over to Wuhan. And I believe they didn't take it over to Wuhan. But if you were to delve a little bit deeper, as Lou and I have to do on this program, the inquiring mind, the mind that wants to know the rest of the story, would ask, why were American soldiers over near Wuhan? Well, we now have to recap some basic important information, and we do hope that you will tell others about this program, because our lives are at stake eventually. If they aren't this very minute, they are, because there is a globalist, sinister plan to take down America. And eventually, there is a larger plan, too, to bring on much more artificial intelligence. It's an anti-humanity plan. And actually, we have the quote from the father of Prince Charles. Tell me, Lou, Prince...
Prince Philip.
Yes, Prince Philip. For a moment, it escaped me.
Yes.
He once said that if he could come back as a virus, he wanted to come back. If he could do that, he'd like to come as a virus to kill many people. And it's very sad that we have learned that his son, who is set to be king, has the virus. And we must pray for him. We must pray that he will be healed. As we must pray for Justin Trudeau's wife, Sophie Gregoire. We must pray that she is healed. We must pray for Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. We must pray for the ordinary people in New York. This is a terrible thing. But now, getting back to my question, what about these soldiers? Why were they there? We don't think that they did carry the virus there. All right. Now, we look back at Natural News for Wednesday, January 29th. Doesn't that sound like a long time ago to you now, Lou?
Yes, it seems like a world ago.
Yeah, it was. That's a very, very important phrase that you said. It was. It was a different world. Here was a headline. Eugenicist Bill Gates co-hosted a high-level pandemic exercise back in October, just in time for the patented coronavirus he helped fund to be unleashed. Natural News. And again, this was January 29th, 2020. Not long before Chinese coronavirus started making global headlines. Oh, and I must interrupt myself. It's very important that you tell others to go to our website, and that is DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that is DividedKingdomRadio.com. You can go into our archives, and the present program might have a sort of a generic title when it goes in, like Vital News, etc. We have to do that for a while, maybe through April, but you'll always find the cutting-edge program that you heard, and you will hear that program on WWCR.com Thursday evenings at 8 p.m., daylight savings time, it is now, it's Eastern time. You will hear that also on the shortwave at that time, 8 p.m. Thursdays, 4.840 megahertz. Again, that's 4.840 megahertz. Repeating on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern time on 7.490 megahertz. Again, that's 7.490 megahertz. We hear that Tennessee is hard hit. They were hard hit with the tornadoes, too. So we pray for our friends down there at WWCR. And we also ask you to find us on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. We're there on Mondays at 5 p.m., the same program, repeating 11 p.m. We have our newest venue at KStarTalkRadio.com. Again, that's KStarTalkRadio.com. You can hear this program at 5 p.m. Saturdays, and that would be, you see, in the late afternoon, or at 10 a.m. on Sundays. And now that I've told you how to find us, and again, tell your friends to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, the article from Natural News, January 29th, says that the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, held a high-level pandemic exercise called Event 201 that seems to have been a predictive blueprint for what's now transpiring with the coronavirus outbreak. And we have to give a little update on our last program. We told you we had learned that they have plans at the Gates Foundation to have a tattoo that you can put under your skin that will show you are not infected with the coronavirus. Is this the mark of the beast coming in embryo? Don't we wonder? So getting back to this article, on October 18, 2019, representatives from each of the aforementioned groups descended on New York City to discuss how they would respond to a severe pandemic, much like the one we're now being told is spreading across China and into the West. The exercise illustrated areas where public-private partnerships will be necessary during the response in a severe pandemic in order to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences, an official announcement from Event 201 reads. In recent years, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic events, amounting to approximately 200 events annually. The announcement goes on to explain these events are increasing, and they are disruptive to health, economies, and society. According to the event's organizers, a pandemic like the one we could be seeing form right now before our very eyes requires cooperation among governments, industries, and key international institutions, the latter presumably referring to organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And we also heard that right in Wuhan, in that area, these world military games were held. And we believe that they were held on that very date, October 18, 2019. These games, with the UN in charge, had representatives of soldiers, military soldiers from various countries. And InfoWars said that they we sent 300 representatives. So you see here, these were military people, and even China had some of their men in wearing the blue helmets. This is when the accusations came, you see, after this, knowing that we had soldiers over there in the Wuhan area. Now, President Trump didn't tell you that. Fox News didn't tell you that. CNN certainly did not tell you that. But you have to know that this event was called the World Military Pandemic Drill Game, something like that. So when we're thinking about this, these are too many coincidences, aren't they, math teacher Lou?
Oh, yes. It's sort of like the Lyme disease coming out of right directly across from an animal experimental lab in Lyme, Connecticut, across from, what was it called?
Cold Springs Harbor, is that the one?
Well, Plum Island.
Plum Island, yes. There are two that we often hear about.
This whole thing about Wuhan is just beyond belief when
you
consider the coincidences.
We got this from the bats. And then, of course, China seemed to perhaps go on an assassination tour. There was a doctor who sounded an alarm on this thing early. And again, this was Fox News, February 6, 2020. Li Wenliang, a doctor in China who was allegedly detained for warning others about the coronavirus before he himself was sickened by the illness, has died. His death was confirmed during a WHO press briefing on Thursday. And he had claimed that he had shared his concerns about the virus in a private chat with other medical students before he was detained by authorities. Li, who according to the BBC was a 34-year-old ophthalmologist at Wuhan Central Hospital, and he had claimed in late December he shared his concerns via private chat with medical school graduates after several patients exhibited symptoms similar to SARS before he was visited and warned by authorities. He was then summoned to Public Security Bureau, where he was forced to sign a letter stating that he made false comments about the virus, the BBC reported. Authorities later apologized. Shortly after, he began coughing and developed a fever that landed him in the hospital for several days. On January 30th, he tested positive for the virus. We have to wonder sometimes, because we know that there are machinations by the deep state. Was this virus planted on him? Was the virus planted in Congress, where those, how many are there, 3 or 4 members now?
Oh, yeah, at least that. Yeah.
Who have it? Was this somehow planted? Did someone go in and put something on a desk? There are all kinds of things in this satanic war that are going on. And now we have to ask another question when we're looking at these stunning statistics by Governor Cuomo. We watch his press briefings, and I said to Lou, who does he sound like? Some singer. And then finally, it dawned on me, it's Johnny Mathis. He has a Johnny Mathis voice. And of course, there seems to be a little bit of dissension now between him and our president. But I had a little flash today. I hope I'm not right that if we even make it to the brokered convention, if that's what the Democrats have, that it may not be Hillary, it may be Cuomo who they will try to promote into that. We don't know, because we're seeing that he does have a good mind. He does seem to be really on top of things. And what's saddest to me is he had his sister on the other day, and he had obvious caring for her, because he was illustrating that she wasn't going to be out disobeying all of these orders on the recreational sites that young people have, spreading the virus. And I thought, how can this be the same man who lit up the Trade Center and gloried in the idea that we could kill the little babies who survived the abortion? How can this be? We ought to pray for him. We ought to pray, because sometimes some people who could be very, very good have gone a little bit off the track and Satan grabs hold. I know this is true. There was someone very close to me who had said that he thought it was okay that in Britain they were burning aborted babies to heat the hospitals, and I was horrified. And this was a person I knew well enough that I could write to and explain how his parents would have felt about this. I believe there was a great repentance. So you see, you can pray for Governor Cuomo that God will convict his heart on that other issue. We hope so. Now, we have to think about some other things that are a little bit outside the box. And you know that I have written an important essay on 5G. If you go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, you can find that essay. And there have been other important essays, better scientifically than my own, written about it. But it is important, and as we watch all of this coverage about the coronavirus, we keep seeing a commercial for T-Mobile. And, of course, it looks so good because they're connecting students, they're connecting people, and it kept flashing 5G every time we saw this commercial. 5G, and it looked like one of those little neighborhood boxes, but lit up sort of at night, flashing. And it was very, very troubling when those of us who know what a killer it is see that. Now they have sanitized that ad. 5G is not part of it. That's interesting. And I'm going to just ask the question about two possible elements that may have contributed to the stunning statistics in New York with the coronavirus cases. I believe that there are twice as many cases there now as nationwide. Isn't that correct, Lou? Isn't that what we heard?
Yes. I think it said half of all the cases in the U.S. are coming out of New York City, or at least close to New York City.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
The first influence on Laura Ingraham's Fox program, Alex Berenson, the author of the book Tell Your Children, talked about the idea that 12 states were under this virus protocol keeping the pot shops open. You know, we've heard that essential businesses are kept open, and that includes selling alcohol too. And he said they realize that many people are addicted and they can't have them going haywire, so that's one reason they are open. And he talked about this heavy use of pot, that there was heavy use of it in Italy, there was heavy use of it in the Bay Area in California, and of course in New York City. So this may be some kind of an element there, because he says there are comorbidities, because young people are vaping, and we know that a lot of truth came out that they had some lung disease, they had troubles. So this may have been one element, this idea of the vaping and the smoking of the pot. And he said it wasn't entirely clear whether the THC, and that would be, you see, the marijuana part, or the other things in the vaping had caused the lung damage. It wasn't entirely clear. Now, the next thing I want you to think about is the possible element of 5G. And I think it's important that we once again bring another article from Natural News from Wednesday, February 26th, by Lance D. Johnson. Did the 5G rollout in Wuhan damage the innate cellular defense cells of the population, putting the people at risk of complications and death from coronavirus? Scientists have been sounding the alarm about the dangers of fifth-generation wireless technology. Some countries have heeded the warning about wireless radiation and the harmful effects of EMFs. China, on the other hand, has completely ignored all warnings and has proceeded to unleash 5G faster than any other nation. In fact, China rolled out 5G in the province of Wuhan in October 2019. So you see, everything goes back to October. The celebration of the Gates Foundation here, Event 201, the military world games there, the pandemic drill, and here we have the rollout of 5G in October 2019. Just 2 months later, the city became afflicted by a new kind of coronavirus named COVID-19. How did a formerly benign class of virus become so opportunistic in such a short amount of time? Well, we can answer that, too, with the idea it's probably a bioweapon. The author says, why is the death rate so high at the epicenter of the outbreak? Did the 5G launch in Wuhan, China, cause widespread compromised immune systems? Why did the city's population suddenly become so vulnerable? Could it be that 5G oxidized important surveillance proteins of the innate immune system of the Wuhan population? Does 5G cause severe inflammation, damaging the innate immune system? Could it be that 5G does cause DNA breaks, as documented by scientists? Do these DNA breaks potentially affect innate immune molecules, such as the mannose-binding lectins, MBLs, which are primarily located on lung surfactant proteins A and D? MBLs, and again, that is mannose-binding lectins. You notice they're mannose. That almost sounds like sugar. You hear of sucrose, mannitol, these things that are maybe substitutes for sugar. You see, there's something connected here like that. So these lectins have kind of a sugar or a glucose kind of a quality there, you see, a starch, something like that. Now, he says, MBLs are powerful defense molecules that have been clinically studied to target coronaviruses early in their replication cycle, preventing viral attachment. If MBL levels are compromised through oxidation, respiratory viruses can more readily take hold of the human host. Deficiency in MBLs also occurs when there is a 3-single-point mutation in exon 1 of the MBL2 gene. For an infectious agent to cause complication and or fatality, a person's immune system must be compromised. Did the launch of 5G in Wuhan, China help facilitate the outbreak of this deadly bioweapon? MBLs are a natural defense system in the human body, used for biological recognition and surveillance at the molecular level. MBLs bind with sugars. Here it is. Hear that? MBLs bind with sugars, allowing the protein to interact with many different kinds of viruses, bacteria, yeast, fungi, and protozoa cloaked with such sugars. MBLs are unique because they can bind to the surface of microbes and activate the complement system in the antibody. They are one of the only antiviral systems that can break down the signature glycoprotein shell that surrounds coronaviruses, including Ebola, SARS, and MERS. Deficiency in mannose-binding lectins is linked to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And he goes on to talk about some other respiratory illnesses, and that maybe 10 to 30% of all of us are deficient in these, and especially, you know, people who might have COPD, they might be more prone to getting some of these things because their MBLs, and remember, these are the mannose-binding lectins, can't operate properly. They have this deficiency in them. So you see, they can't attack that, they can't bind with those sugars. That shell, remember, that signature glycoprotein shell that surrounds the coronaviruses, including Ebola, SARS, and MERS, they can't do that very well because there aren't enough of them, or else they're ruined because he said it attacks the DNA. You see, this is the most serious aspect of the coronavirus outbreak. Up to 30% of the population may already be susceptible to serious complications from this weaponized strain. 5G wireless radiation only compromises immunity further. After all, one of the documented symptoms of 5G is flu-like symptoms. Oh, Lou, I had forgotten that sentence was in here. You know, when we're talking about the New World Order, if you hear something suspicious, you always go, ding, ding. I think the bell is very loud on this one.
Oh, yes. Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
Yes, it is. One of the documented symptoms of 5G is flu-like symptoms. Why is the fatality rate higher at the epicenter of the outbreak? Did the launch of 5G wireless radiation cause oxidative damage to innate immune molecules like the mannose-binding lectins in the people of Wuhan, China? Did 5G cause genetic mutations, suppressing natural levels of mannose-binding lectins? Did the well-documented oxidative effects of 5G affect the population's innate immune system, oxidizing the very molecules that the immune system needs in order to protect the respiratory system? Is 5G accelerating the virility of coronavirus by weakening important cellular surveillance systems on the proteins of lung cells? And you might say, well, why are you bringing that back to us tonight? Because there was another article by Lance D. Johnson, Monday, March 2nd, 2020, at Natural News. And here was the headline. NYC fast-tracking 5G, installing thousands of new small-cell antennae on traffic lights and street lamps. And this article tells that some of it has already been installed in the year 2017. And, you know, we would like to know just what parts of the city have had that 5G and the coronavirus rates for that area. Would it be like the epicenter of Wuhan? Now, I'll read most of this article because it's an alert to all of you out there. You don't want this. You don't want this death coming to your neighborhood. These little boxes, it's far, 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 far beyond the effect of the cell towers. It's far, far, far beyond 4G. Natural News. The United States is in a race to be the world leader in 5G wireless technology. In September 2018, the Federal Communications Commission passed a 5G fast plan to help the telecom industry install thousands of new cell towers by removing local authority over their placement, permitting, and fees. Did you get that? And you'd better be alert in your neighborhood, no matter what kind of authority has been surpassed. You'd better be alert, and you'd better stand up for your very lives. In October, and I'm saying that, that's not in the article, I'm telling you that. In October 2019, back to the article, Texas Representative Pete Olson introduced H.R. 4741, which gives the FCC and the telecom industry more power to advance 5G quickly without adherence to existing environmental and human health laws. Small government, quote, small government Republicans want to take advantage of 5G's economic benefit, allowing the telecom industry and big tech to bypass local government oversight as unchecked wireless radiation and data collection pillages communities throughout the United States. This is an important message, and you need to tell your family, your friends, you need to talk to the people who are in your local government. We really can't let these awful boxes be there near families, near schools. This is a killing grid, isn't it, Lou?
Oh, yes. Yes, it very much is, and we need to fight this. You notice they took away the right for local governments to make the decision. I wonder why.
Yes, but there are still local people.
Yes.
And those local people are going out trying to buy guns, even though the gun shops are being closed. They're not an essential business. They're not as essential as the pot shops. Huh? Don't we smell a rat? So NYC introducing thousands of new sources of millimeter wave microwave radiation as 5G is fast-tracked through the city in this article. And the ambitions to become a smart city. With these ambitions to become a smart city, New York City is currently fast-tracking this, approving the installation of thousands of new small-cell antennae on traffic lights and street lamps. This practice isn't entirely new. They said they had cell towers and receptors throughout the city, but 5G is going to take it to a much bigger level, and that's me talking again. Now, we don't know how far they got with this, the new part, you see. He says, over the past 15 years, New York City has installed over 6,000 poles to accommodate wireless technology. Another 5,000 are scheduled for installation across the five boroughs of the city. And they recently had approved the New York City Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications. They had approved 10 franchise agreements with multiple companies to start installing these 5G equipment things on street lamps, traffic light poles, assaulting the city's occupants with thousands of new sources of millimeter wave microwave radiation at every turn. So we don't know whether it is there in exponential, I'm using that word again with a sort of an irony, as the exponential curve goes up. We don't know whether they had begun doing a lot of this right after this article, you see, because this was early, March the 2nd, rather early. But we know that some of it is there because he says in this article, in fact, the first 5G technology that was installed in New York neighborhoods in 2017. So, Lou, it has been there for 3 years in some neighborhoods.
Yes, that's right.
And Dr. Naomi Wolf, in this article, she is referred to that she studied this because she was hearing reports about startling symptoms from nearby residents and their pets. So she broke the news about the symptoms people experience just by living next to the 5G equipment. These serious health concerns have not stopped the telecom industry. In the race for 5G, cities will continue to fast-track hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of radiation-emitting small cell antennae on city streets and in residential neighborhoods. Because 5G causes oxidation of cells and DNA damage. Do I hear it, Lou?
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
DNA damage. Do you understand what that means? Listeners, do you understand? I hope so. It can mean cancer. It can mean death. It can mean autoimmune diseases. So he says DNA damage, immune deficiencies, and cancer rates will continue to accelerate in America. A 2018 study towards 5G communication systems, are there health implications? Found that millimeter waves, quote, alter gene expression, promote cellular proliferation, and synthesis of proteins linked with oxidative stress, inflammatory, and metabolic processes. When this oxidation impacts innate immune molecules located on lung cells, the population becomes much more susceptible to mutating pathogens that affect the respiratory tract. With the capability to decimate innate immune cells, 5G ultimately puts people at increased risk of contracting up-and-coming, ever-mutating viruses, such as coronaviruses and influenza viruses. The last sentence, New York is a ticking time bomb for an outbreak of infectious disease. And it looks like that time has come. We're going to move to Lou, the mathematician. He's the Bill Hemmer of shortwave. He's going to bring us up to date on some interesting things. Lou?
Well, I thought I'd begin with this whole matter of an exponential growth. We often hear that bandied about. But unless you've had some specialized training in math, you may not quite know what that means. The simplest example of that is bacteria. Under ideal conditions, if you start out with one bacterium and it splits in half every hour, doesn't seem like much. After an hour, you've got two of them. After 2 hours, you have four, and it keeps doubling. The key thing there is that you are multiplying by two every hour. But the interesting thing is, after 24 hours, you would never guess how many there would be. There'd be 16,777,000 approximately.
Wow.
Now, that can show you why, in order to survive, higher animals have to have an immune system. Because if you allow those bacteria to go unchecked, they would take over the whole body in a matter of a day or two. Now, I often talk to my students, because I do teach math, sometimes give them a little simple problem to try and guess at. Which would you rather have? On the first day, let's say, of March, $10,000 in a lump sum, or would you like to have a penny on the first day, two pennies on the second day of March, and double it every day? So you'd have four, then eight, then 16 the next day, and so on. Turns out you'd have way beyond, I believe, $5 million if you chose that. And most students, if they haven't seen it before, will just say, oh, give me the $10,000. But you'd be much better off if you can find some rich man that's willing to do it, to take the second option, the doubling every day. That's what an exponential growth or an exponential function in math is all about. The key thing is you're not adding the same amount every day. You're multiplying by the same amount every day. Now, to get to some of Mike Adams' predictions, we've talked a lot about natural news. Mike, in an article that he put out, let's see, on March the 5th, said, quote, today I completed a new software model that projects where the coronavirus is headed. The model is terrifying. Well, it was terrifying. But the truth is, Mike's model, a page or two later, says by April 4th there will be 580 cumulative deaths in America. Well, I tell you what, as of today, there were not 580 that Mike had predicted, but 800, approximately. So you see, the actual figures are even more, well, more terrifying, if you want to put it that way, than what Mike had. Now, they are localized.
And was that, Lou, when he thought that the death rate was 3.5?
I believe it was.
And
yes.
We're still not sure about that. It seems to be lower now because there's a larger population of people who have it, and we can't really know that they have it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, since we don't really have a total idea of exactly how many people have it, because some are walking around, you know, that have already gotten over it with no bad effects, and some have very mild cases and have never been tested.
And now, did that relate to him with what that figure that he got projecting ahead? Was he using that 3.5, or was that a separate
I believe
item?
He was. Let me take a quick skimming of this article and see if he
because that would then
to that.
Almost make you think that it is a higher death rate, a fatality rate, than what they're saying with
yes,
like
1.1. Definitely think so.
1.1.
Yeah. This, by the way, was in an article entitled Hawaii and Maryland Both Declare States of Emergency, and so on, if you wanted to look that in his archives.
And that's naturalnews.com.
That's right, exactly.
We won't belabor that too much.
No.
But,
moving on, we can see that the actual numbers are more than even Mike predicted. He predicted by April 4th in, I think, that same article, there might be 580. And even today, and we're about 12 days away by my calculations from April 4th, we already have about 800.
And this is Wednesday, the 25th of March, when we are coming to you recording the program. So
yes.
You'll be hearing it on the 26th.
That's right. Now, later, Mike put out another article extolling what President Trump did, saying it was a very good thing that he took action, which it was, and that his figures would therefore go down. But even so, you know, his earlier figures were not as big as the actual figures we have in front of us.
That's very sobering.
It certainly is. And I was talking about multiplying. The actual number seemed to be multiplying by, and I'll tell you more about how I arrived at that, appears to be about 1.164 per day, which doesn't sound like much. But you compound that, in other words, multiply it over and over again, and it really begins to grow. That's like saying if you had 16% interest in a bank account, you would be doing pretty good after a period of time. Now you get maybe less than 1%. Now, New York City, as of recording this program, the last figure I could get off the TV was 285 deaths, doubling every 3 days. Now notice that word doubling. That means, conservatively, if this trend continues, we hope it won't, by mid-April, there will be about 9,100 deaths in New York City, or at least New York State, anyway. That's pretty sobering, 9,100. And that's only New York. So that would mean nationwide, if New York continues to be about half the whole nation, you'd have around 18,000 deaths in the country.
And Lou, I want to interject that we have heard Dr. Birx talk about the people who are fleeing New York, fleeing that epicenter of death. They're going other places, and they'll be carrying this. They'll be spreading it.
That's true. Now, I guess we can't blame them. I think if I was in New York, maybe I'd try and get away, too.
That's right. She emphasized that they needed to self-quarantine. But again, the youth are not really caring too much about other people. They're out. And we heard that Governor Cuomo was going to, he hated to do this, but he might have to even close playgrounds. He was going to use the idea of closing off some streets, I think, doing some things.
I think
and,
so.
And no cars so that people could take a walk down their streets. But we can see again the failing Christian churches in America who let the people go without knowing the Bible and believing in the Bible, the weak churches who don't stand up against abortion, so that the millennials do not have a strong faith and hope in Jesus Christ. They just want to have fun. They're very self-centered. They may be younger than millennials even, I would think, some of these people out here. What is it, Generation Y? Is that the next one?
I've lost track of those.
I'm not sure. It may be Y. I think maybe they're the even younger ones. But at any rate, getting back to your statistics, this is just astounding. By April 2nd, there could be 9,000, what did you say?
Well, I took a graphing calculator, just a simple one that you can buy at any store that sells calculators, and I just simply put in the data, which is easy enough to do, and the calculator will generate an equation. And by the way, I said 1.164 multiplied per day. The most up-to-date one was higher than that, 1.238. So that's even more sobering.
Now, what would that be, that a little bit more than 9,000 then, or a lot more, do you think?
Now, this will shock you if the present trend continues. Now, of course, it can't go on forever, or everybody would be dead in the whole country, and then it would have to stop.
However, when we heard Governor Cuomo talking, he told how all of the various agencies supplying beds and ventilators and everything in the hospitals, trying to get them to augment their present capacity. And some hospitals, he thought, might even be able to try for 100% augmentation. He still was short a number of three or 4,000 at least at optimal conditions. And what I'm saying is, it'll get out of control more and more and more if the hospitals and the hospital workers can't really help the people. I think that may be an influence on making the numbers, the fatalities, certainly go up.
Yes, and
what do you think it would be? Yes, shock us.
Well, by April 6th, if that very model continued, mathematically there would be 9,265 deaths. Here's the one that will really rattle us. On May 6th, 1 month later, at that rate, there would be 5,605,000.
Just in New York.
No, that would be nationwide.
That would be nationwide.
But again, it might be half of them in New York if that trend continues.
And now we hope and pray it won't. We hope that the social distancing will go on long enough. And
we certainly hope so.
Yes.
Now, these figures, by the way, are high, much, much higher than Mike Adams had, and he called it horrific or terrifying. I forget the word. And, yes, we certainly hope that all this social distancing and all the staying at home, all that kind of thing, will have a good effect. But so far, I have to say, it doesn't appear to have that good an effect. Maybe it will. Now, because New York is so densely populated, too, that might account for...
But all of these things that we've been mentioning are important. And does that complete pretty much what you have on the figures?
Yes, Elizabeth,
I mentioned that... I had seen something about the Olympics. Maybe you can give us very quickly.
Yes, this is breaking, I think, just today, if I'm not mistaken, in our local paper, Eastern Maryland, March 25th, a little article entitled, "A Flame Goes Out, Tokyo Summer Games Rescheduled for 2021. Not even the Summer Olympics could withstand the force of the coronavirus. After weeks of hedging, the International Olympic Committee took the unprecedented step of postponing the world's biggest sporting event, a global extravaganza that had been cemented into the calendar for more than a century. The Tokyo Games, slated for 11,000 athletes from more than 200 countries at a reported cost of $28 billion with a B dollars, had been scheduled to begin on July 24th. They will now be pushed into 2021 on dates to be determined. They will still be called the 2020 Olympics, a symbolic gesture that the International Olympic Committee hopes will allow the games to stand as a beacon of hope."
And I think that's enough to give us the idea there. And we are still, at this moment, praying, and we need all of you to pray that the House will pass a bill to immediately start helping the workers. But we know that a bill was getting ready to be passed there, and we are told by some of the senators that when Nancy Pelosi returned, I guess from being at home, that everything then changed, that her bill had to put in all of the climate change things, the AOC element of her party. In Time Magazine in December 16th, she had the audacity, to say, "We are still in. The United States is still in." And that was in regard to the Trump administration taking us out of the Paris Climate Agreed Accords. And so there is this very great arrogance. And because you are still a registered Democrat, you've never really changed it.
Yeah.
You received a letter from her, and it said, "Dear friend, people tell me it must be a tough job to be Speaker of the House when the president belongs to the opposite party, lives in a world without facts or decency, and has nearly every Republican in Congress marching in unthinking lockstep lockstep behind him." I thought that was a disgusting way to write to you. So when she came back and everything began to change, a couple of the mainstream news commentators said it was so strange that she quoted the Pope. There was some kind of a benign little thing that he said, I think, and it was kind of strange because it makes one almost wonder, did she get her marching orders from the Pope? And Gary Call in Hope for the World, we're going to begin this. We may have to complete this the next time. But he says in the winter issue, as the world becomes, and Lou and I are going to share this together, less stable, global socialism will become more acceptable. It will be presented as the only solution. The conditioned masses will gladly embrace a new world order promising peace, prosperity, and protection for the environment. Now, he didn't know at this time about the coronavirus. Now, Pope Francis, global elites have long understood that in order to achieve their socialist world government, a pope who shares their vision would be required. As I've stated before, a system of world government would be virtually impossible to accomplish without the blessing and support of the Church of Rome, which represents over 1 billion people, I think. In the world. Francis is supportive of the new world order on every level: government, economics, environment, education, religion. He has made his positions clear in many public statements during his reign at the Vatican. And I want to interject here that Lou and I are not anti-Catholic. We have some good American Roman Catholic friends, and we think they don't approve of this. Of course, we know there is a strong Jesuit connection. And what was Nancy Pelosi's meaning to start out her first talk there, that this little soundbite for TV, with what the Pope said, her leader, you know, we wonder. Anyway, Gary Call says he has made his positions clear in many public statements. However, in the past 12 months, he has noticeably intensified his efforts. Let's take a look at what he's been up to. In early February 2019, Pope Francis met with the world's best-known Muslim cleric, the Grand Imam Ahmad al-Tayyib of Egypt. Together, they proposed a United Nations World Day of Fraternity to the UN Secretary General. The Pope said the Imam also proposed a UN-hosted World Summit on Human Fraternity. The goal of these events is to promote the ideas laid out in their joint document titled Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. This document and the Pope's speech at the Fraternity Conference last February in the United Arab Emirates are quite revealing. While we would all agree with parts of the document, such as those sections denouncing terrorism and stressing the sanctity of human life, the underlying premise of this declaration of Pope Francis and al-Tayyib is that all religions are good and come from God. When the word believers is used, it is a reference to all people who believe in the existence of a God, no matter what their concept of that God might be. It presents the false notion of universal religious unity, the idea that all religions are pathways to God, which is a dangerous lie. Similarly, the document repeatedly uses the term human fraternity, which is merely the latest catchphrase used by this pope to convey global interfaith unity. You can read excerpts from this document at the end of the article. You may access the full text of the document as well as the Pope's speech by using their links he mentions. So during their time together, the Pope warmly embraced al-Tayyib, who has previously stated that Muslims who convert to Christianity should be executed. This same Muslim leader has dismissed the idea of human rights as ticking time bombs, while endorsing jihad suicide attacks against Jewish men, women, and children. A few days after their meeting, Pope Francis addressed the World Government Summit in Dubai, UAE. and that's the United Arab Emirates, which convened on February 10th to 12th. His speech was delivered via teleconference as world leaders looked on. The whole purpose of the summit, as the name suggests, was to promote the establishing of a world government. Now, we have to interject. Why would Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, be quoting a religious figure who advocates world government? Back to the article. The Pope is not hiding his intentions much these days. After numerous other encounters with world religious leaders throughout the spring and summer, on September 12th, Francis unveiled his latest initiative, a global compact on education. His announcement came during his visit to the Astalli Center, the Jesuit Refugee Service in Rome. This compact will officially be launched from the Vatican as part of a global event to take place on May 14, 2020. Its ultimate purpose, to pave the way for major global changes through education. The following is an excerpt from his announcement introducing the compact. Lou?
Every change calls for an educational process that involves everyone. There is thus a need to create an educational village, that's in quotes, in which all people, according to their respective roles, share the task of forming a network of open human relationships. According to an African proverb, quote, it takes a whole village to educate a child, unquote. We have to create such a village before we can educate. In the first place, the ground must be cleared of discrimination, and fraternity must be allowed to flourish, as I stated in the document that I signed with the Grand Imam Al-Azhar, that is Al-Tayyib, on 4th February this year in Abu Dhabi.
Now, this is rather strange, isn't it, that this is a top Christian religious figure, and we don't just pick on the Pope. We talk about people who are involved in Protestant heresy. But I think that much more is involved than religion here. And when Nancy Pelosi quotes the Pope, she's honoring him before she even gets down to business of inserting all of the Green New Deal and all of those things. And strangely, the desire to step up abortion has to go into that bill. We need a lot of prayer for the real Christian men in Congress to stand up, and we need this bill passed for the sake of the American people. We ask you to pray hard and tune in again to the Divided Kingdom. Good night.